know something? You know something? If you had told us 1 year ago that we were going to come in third in Iowa, we would have given anything for that. And you know something? You know something? Not only are we going to New Hampshire, Tom Harkin, we're going to South Carolina and Oklahoma and Arizona and North Dakota and New Mexico. And we're going to California and Texas and New York. And we're going to South Dakota and Oregon and Washington and Michigan. And then we're going to Washington, D.C. to take back the White House. We will not give up. We will not give up in New Hampshire. We will not give up in South Carolina. We will not give up in Arizona or New Mexico, Oklahoma, North Dakota, Delaware, Pennsylvania, Ohio, Michigan. We will not quit now or ever. We want our country back for ordinary Americans.
In early 2020, the world shut down. Stores, restaurants, schools, and whole communities shut their doors in an effort to protect human life. As the world quickly changed, one man went on Facebook to get a degree in internet epidemiology. Brian, along with his lab assistant Hoatley, are curing coronavirus by commenting on fake news and reposting recipes of secret virus cures from a friend of a friend who works high up in government. Join Brian and Hoatley as they discuss the world and life during this forced interruption. Learning, laughing, and loving in this real-life commercial break. On this episode of The Commercial Break.
Thank you for buying the gateway, Brian. It's game. Are you enjoying your gateway?
I really am. Thanks so much. It works just wonderful.
Yeah, I've got the 3-day guarantee, so don't worry. If it breaks down in the next 16 hours, you're good. Turn it back in. Hey, y'all. Okay, just go ahead.
Oh, okay. Fa la 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 la. Simulance. Simulance. Simulance.
Okay, go ahead, guys.
Oh, okay. You want to do the drums next?
No, I want you to start playing. It's 3:05. You have exactly 27 minutes left.
It's on Lifetime television.
You're watching Lifetime?
No.
The next episode of The Commercial Break starts now.
Oh, yeah.
Hello.
I was telling you that the only exercise I may get during the pandemic currently is here when we're dancing while we're waiting for the show to start. Because I have a 2-year-old and a 2-minute-old child and then a dog that won't shut up and a job that won't shut up. And I'm here at the podcast. So look at me.
Yeah. And you can go. We'll get our calisthenics on.
That's right. We're doing the show. You're going to be able to watch this on video, all you at home here, very shortly. We'll tell you more on how to do that. If you go to tcbpodcast.com, you can join the break room. The break room is a little club for exclusive members only. We will determine whether or not you're good enough. We will need you to send in a picture, your body measurements. I want to know what your current heart rate is because that's important. Just
send your Fitbit.
Yeah, I want to make sure you're not going to die from the exclusive bonus content you'll get around the 15th of every month. And I say around the 15th because let's be honest about it. I haberdashedly put this shit together on the 14th to send out on the 15th. But then, you know, sometimes I'm a little bit late. So excuse me. That's just the way it is. When you're not paying me to do the show, you get what you get and that's it. So now that I've made the break room sound super exciting, if you go there and you sign,
it's
you go
a to, labor of love.
It is a labor of love. This whole shit start was a labor of love. TCBpodcast.com. You can join the break room. You can't miss it. It's right there. It's a big button comes up. Join the break room. We'll send you an exclusive bonus content every month. And now the break room members are going to be the first ones to check out the video version of the commercial break, which we're recording today. We have been recording for the last couple episodes, but since I can't figure out exactly how to put it all up on, I've actually got it on YouTube. It's just like hidden behind the wall because for some reason it's fine at the beginning and then our voices start to go like sideways. Like I had something to do with my computer, which absolutely just took a dump on the floor a couple of weeks ago. And
Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called PIE, People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know you at a deeper level, the who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends. So for me, it's, you know.
Trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to. Podcasts on?
Yeah, podcast, homecasts.
Your podcasting apparatus? Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
Ladies and gentlemen.
What are you doing?
What do you mean?
Keep it simple.
I'm making the promo.
Just keep it simple. Just say, hey, we're the Brav Bros. Two guys that talk about Bravo.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, we're the Brav Bros.
No.
Oh.
Dude. Stop with the voice. Just keep it simple.
I've seen promos on TV, dude. This is how you get the fans engaged. This is how you get listeners. We're trying to get listeners here. If we just say, oh, we're two dudes that talk about Bravo, people are going to get tired of it already. We need some oomph.
All right, then fine. Let's try to do it with your voice.
Brav Bros.
Good job.
Now we've got this brand new, beautiful computer. It's a... it's a Gateway. Do you remember the Gateways? The ones with the ones that look like the cow? It's a Gateway 3000. I bought it online. I bought it online from the same guy who sells.
Make those.
That's right.
Thank you for buying the Gateway, Brian. It's came. Are you enjoying your Gateway?
I really am. Thanks so much. It works just wonderful.
Yeah, thanks. I've got the 3-day guarantee, so don't worry. If it breaks down in the next 16 hours, you're good. Turn it back in.
How are we doing on the banner ads?
Real good. Let me tell you, brother. I almost have two subscribers. We've had 6 plays.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
No problem. Each of my family members has pressed twice.
Okay, we'll talk to you later. Did you like my big word that I used, haberdashedly?
I did. I know haberdashery, and that's like where...
Oh, yeah, that's where you get your coats and your boots.
Nice clothing.
I thought that's where you get like a leather thing. Like a haberdashery is where you get leather shit, or is it any kind of clothes? Don't check your internet because then the whole thing's going to crash. We're doing the show on a high wire today as Chrissy's got 10% battery life. She's in a concrete bunker somewhere out there in the universe. It's no
traveling.
Internet.
Traveling.
Yeah.
Traveling.
Yeah. Yes. And I've got this brand new computer.
Remote.
It took all of 7 days just to figure out how exactly I was going to record the show. And I know how to do nothing else on this computer except for do this, what we're doing right now. So we hope you enjoy the broadcast. Yeah, I use that big word haberdashedly because I made that shit up.
Nice. I mean, all you have to do is that confident.
That's right. I am.
It's just like getting backstage.
Oh yeah, that's true. You just got to pretend.
Just act like you know where you're going. You should be there.
That has never not once worked for me. I'm with the band.
It hasn't ever not worked for me.
What's the name of the band that I was trying to use? Who are the guys at Bonnaroo? What was their name? We said it like a million times.
Moon Shadow.
Moon Taxi. I'm with Moon Taxi. I'm here to get some beer. Go fuck yourself, man. Go get your own beer. All right, thanks. I was told that if I just come in here with confidence that I can get some beer. I should have just been honest.
Moon Taxi.
So yeah, haberdashedly. I'm an expert in all things dictionary. I'm an expert in all things that start with the word dick. Dictionary and dictation and dick delicious and the tasty tones. Dick Delicious.
Was that a band?
It was Dick Delicious. I'm pretty sure. My memory, you know, just give me a
Skyway.
Let's just pretend. Let's go with it. Let's roll with it. Dick Delicious and the Tasty Tones is a band that used to travel here in the southeast of the United States of America, I think. And if I remember correctly, I saw them once at the Rec Room. Do you remember the Rec Room? You weren't here, actually. You were you here?
I briefly, because I grew up in Atlanta.
Oh yeah, yeah. Okay, so you would have known
when I was 16, and then you know always was coming back. So yeah.
So the Rec Room was this like under like a looked like basically like a bunker, right? It had a It had a brick facade, and then you would walk down into the earth, and then it would be this, I don't know, let's call it 200 by 200 room, like square room, pool table off in the corner, bar on each side with, you know, old, like bartenders in their late 50s who just hated children that came in and tried to use the fake IDs. But the rec room was a place where any band could guarantee that they could get a spot because they didn't give a shit. They were just like, you would call them up. I remember I was in a band and I was like 16 years old and the band was called 33 Willie. It's a genius name that I came up with, that we came up with.
33 Willie.
Isn't that an interesting name? So we're in this band, 33 Willie. And
going
we're,
back to all things Dick.
Yeah, that's right. And I'm writing, all of these. I was a singer and played some guitar in the band and I was writing all these melodramatic songs because, you know, I was a teenager and it was the 90s and everything was so dramatic and the girl didn't love me and maybe she didn't, maybe she didn't. Maybe
the era of Nirvana. Yeah, and
maybe I was alluding to suicide. Yeah. Maybe I wasn't, right? And, you know, people were dying on the front lawns and just this crazy crap that I was writing. It was just bad music, just bad music. But we thought we had our shit together, you know, but it was our first show. So we were really nervous and we were like, one of the guys in the band knew that you could call the rec room and get yourself a spot for, you know, for nothing, right? You'd be,
rec room, how can I help you?
Yes, I'm a band and I'd like to book a show.
Okay, what are you doing this Thursday at 3 o'clock?
Well, I'm a sophomore in high school, so I'm going to be in high school.
Oh, that's really bad. Too bad. We got a spot you could fill it Thursday at 3 o'clock.
Okay, we'll get out of school, I think. You know, everyone in the background's like, we'll get out of school. We'll get out of school.
Yeah, we're doing it.
Okay,
we're doing
okay, we're doing it. Okay, so what do we need to do?
Show up.
I had to show up.
Okay, how do we promote it?
That's entirely up to you. We here at the Rec Room have an open promotion policy. You feel free to do it however you want.
Okay, great. Can we like use your logo and stuff?
We don't have a logo. It's just spelled Rec Room.
Okay, great. We're going to be there Thursday at 3 o'clock. What time is sound check?
3 o'clock.
Oh, that's what time sound check starts?
Sure, man. Whatever you want. 3 o'clock.
Call it sound check. Or
3 o'clock to 3:35. It's all you.
So we show up. We get our gear. We show up. I swear to God. Maybe it's not a Thursday, but maybe it's a Friday. And it's like 4:30, right? So we show up. We put out these flyers at school. We get like 26 people to attend, right? And everyone is super excited. And I am just a ball of fucking nerves. I'm like, oh my God, I got to get up there in front of people. Like we've been doing this in this guy's attic, you know, and to no one. And now I got to get up and sing these melodramatic songs that no one's going to like. And just all this stuff that goes through your head. And I had a real bad bout of stage fright. And so I was like, oh my God, holy shit. And so we get up there, we start plugging in our instruments, and the guy is in the back of the room, right? He's like at the soundboard.
Hey, y'all. Okay, just go ahead. Go ahead.
Oh, okay. fa la 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 la. Simulance. Simulance. Simulance.
Okay, go ahead, guys.
Right, I'm testing microphone one. Microphone one.
You're testing microphone one? It's fine. I can hear you.
Oh, okay. You want to do the drums next?
No, I want you to start playing. It's 3:05. You have exactly 27 minutes left.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought we were... And there's like the 26 people are standing out there and they're all like, what is going on? Like, and I was like, I'm sorry. I thought we had a stage... I thought we had a sound check.
Hey, brother, do the sound check on your own time. You guys got to get going. Exactly.
And I'm like, oh, okay. And then so I'm like, all right, guys. One, two... Three and four.
A one and a two.
Yeah. And my guitar wasn't plugged in. So it was just like, it was the biggest shit show ever. 26 people, most of them sitting, no crowd interaction whatsoever. We ripped through the three songs that we know. We had a show. It started at 3:07. We had till 3:35. It ended at 3:13 because even with the sound check, that was it. We were done. And in the rec room.
I think it's longer when you're doing it on your own. It's like a speech you give in school.
That's right. You're absolutely right about that. Yeah,
it's got to be 5 minutes. But then you actually say it out loud, it's 30 seconds.
You're 100% right about that, Hoodley. Like every time I got on stage, I felt like I just did like some Opus concert, right? And then I get off and it was 7.5 minutes after I had gotten on the stage. And as I got older and became, you know, a more emboldened singer, sure. I never got over my stage fright. Then I would just drink it away, right?
Yeah. A lot of people do that.
Yeah. And there was, I remember we played a show in Alabama and in like some other band that we were in that actually we had a little, like a tiny bit of momentum. I think I told you this story, right? Yeah. There's like a little bit of momentum. Maybe one or two people out there actually enjoyed the music and both of them were in the band. I was like me and the other guy. And we played a show. And in the, and I'm just like, I'm in it. I'm so hammered on tequila. I'm just shit faced on tequila. And like, I'm into it. And it's, you know, this is the best show we've ever played. And in my mind, it's like this big dramatic, I'm Jim Morrison and, you know, right. the Lizard King.
Prolific.
And then, yes. and then the, and then somebody from the crowd.
Hey man, go fuck yourself.
Woo! Hey, yeah. It's rock and roll for you.
Good times.
Yeah. So the Rec Room. Here's an ode to the Rec Room, the place you could always play. And I think we've ended up playing. Here's to the Rec Room. And what the deal was is that, you know, they charge $5 to get in and they tell you they will split. We'll split the door after you get 100 people in the door. And they knew we were never going to get 100 people in the door. So,
yeah.
Yeah. We, never. Yeah. I was never going to get. Don't worry. And then eventually we were like, can we get a cut of the bar? And he's like, man, you ain't even old enough to drink. What are you talking about? You got a cut of the bar? The only guy drinking is the bartender. Can what are you talking about? Yeah. Could I please have a beer?
At least have a beer.
Oh, so I wanted to update you on a situation that we had talked about. Earlier on an earlier episode, maybe we'll go back to episode number 18. How you doing on okay. How you doing on power over there?
I've got 32%.
Oh my God, we're running. We're gonna go. It's like my show at the Rec Room. We gotta go.
I gotta go.
So, remember we were talking about Married at First Sight, the television yes. program Married
yes.
at First Sight.
And
so,
I actually just saw an article about something about that the other day. And I
Married at First Sight, Australia, the one in Australia.
I don't know. I would have to go back to my notes. Okay. Anyways.
So we go to let's go to Married at First Sight Australia because there's two versions. Yes. The one in the US, which yeah. I find to be a little bit on the boring side now that I've watched the Australian one, which is just like a total fucking.
That was with Michael
Michael and Michelle. Woman. It's actually yes. Steve and Michelle. I said Michael and Michelle. I was okay. totally wrong. It's Steve and Michelle. Right. And so Steve and Michelle are now, they've been together. They stay together, right?
They did.
Yes. They stay together. Then they're still together. And it's like, we've got two more episodes left,
spark,
I think.
Did a spark spark?
Kind of. They actually ended up sleeping in the same bed together, you know, but and then they said there was a little cuddle there, but she's been pressing him. She's like, listen, she's like baby steps, right? She's like, all you have to yeah. do is let's just sleep together. Don't have to touch yeah. me. Don't have to do anything. Let's just spend the night together in the same bed because they've been married for 4 fucking weeks and he hasn't even slept in the same bed with her. How do you expect yeah. a spark to happen if you don't even at least give it a try, right?
Right.
And so this week they come up and the question is, you know, the experts are like, you have to get intimate, right? You have to get intimate. And Steve says, well, I have been intimate, mate, right? I feel a great degree of intimacy with Michelle here. And I'm like, what do you consider intimate? Like, what is intimate to you? If someone says, have you been intimate? What does that mean to you, Hoadley?
I mean, it's getting intimate. It's going past kissing.
It's okay. So you have, there's like a degree, like, okay. So intimate is past kissing. Is that rounding second base? Is that over the bra or under the bra?
Yeah. That's a little bit of a gray area, but I think it's, you know.
Yeah. Like you guys
going
are
going into there's bodily fluids maybe.
Oh, bodily fluids. Wow. You take it
I
there.
I don't know.
You got to be gushing. So someone's got to be gushing for intimacy. I think of intimacy as like, I don't know, like a closeness to a person, right? Now, well, I agree right. with you. Like
There's that.
I give pecks on the cheek to some of my friends, but I don't consider that yeah. intimate, right? I consider like a certain closeness with someone, a sexuality, a savoir-faire, if you will, with someone, a interaction that's more than just friendly, I would consider intimate. Kind of, and that got me yeah. thinking. And I don't know why it got me thinking about this. When I was a young man, we had a sexual thing that we used to do. And when I was like, I don't know, 13, 14, 15, 16, I want to see if this resonates with you.
Because I want to
campaign to bring this back. Now that I have a daughter mm-hmm. in the world and a son in the world, mm-hmm. I think I want to campaign to bring this back because I don't feel like the kids know about this. And I'm a little bit concerned that they're missing out on something that wasn't all that fun, but I definitely didn't end up in pregnancy. Dry humping.
The dry hump,
right?
I remember the dry hump.
I think this is a super important thing that we have got to teach these children, especially
That's
my children.
The original safe sex.
That is the original safe sex. Is dry humping, right? Because I feel like the kids today, they watch the pornography. They look at the titties and the penises. And they get themselves all excited and they go, just go right for it. Not knowing exactly what they're getting themselves into, right? There are all these little 16-year-old porn stars running around trying to have sex with each other and film it and put it on TikTok and Cock Talk and whatever the fuck else is out there in the universe. But what they don't realize, they're missing one step in the process, in the intimacy process. Because when you're a kid that age, intimacy truly is, it's by basis, right? I kissed her. I French kissed her. I touched her breast. Or she felt, you know, my ping-pong over the pants, under the pants, you know, and then whatever it is for you and your particular sexual predilection. But you're really missing out on something if you don't go to dry humping. If you don't. So I'm starting a campaign here. Hashtag dry hump.
I love it.
On the commercial break. We here at the commercial break are in full support of the dry hump, because it's a way that you two can feel like you're having sex with a wool person. Rug, a burlap sack, but you can practice your motion and your energy.
Yeah, you can.
Without all the dangers of sex. And the reason why I really want to start this campaign now, why it's important to me, why it's close to my heart right here. I know, and I want you to go out and vote too. Those are a couple things that are important to me. Go out and vote. And then hashtag dry hump. Bring dry hump back.
I'm totally going to hashtag the dry hump.
Is because I have a daughter and a son now, and I'm hoping that, you know, that this, because the kids today, they go right to it, right? And some of them even are having anal sex because they don't believe that's real sex.
Oh
right, that's
God,
what they
had a friend
who did anal sex because she didn't believe it was real sex.
She didn't think it was the real thing. I'm like, he's really convincing you of something.
I want to meet that guy who convinces somebody. But I hear that a lot of like the evangelicals and some of the more strict, like even Christians, Catholics, stuff like that. They say that, you know, when you're doing it in that hole, you're still keeping your virginity and you're respecting God. I got news for you. I don't know. I don't know what you consider respect. But that hole is not for respect, right? That is not the respect hole. I'm just letting you know that you might as well just go for it.
Yeah.
I dated a woman. And why this all came about when I was watching my Married at First Sight Australia, I'm not particularly sure, but this is just how my mind works. I dated a woman when I was, let's say that I was in my 27 to 29 range. I dated a woman. She was an interesting girl. She was a bartender. I met her at a bar. She was a bartender. She was a wily cat. She was a short little thing. She was, you know, just one of those girls, like a pocket rocket. It's full of energy.
Yeah.
She was from like Snailville, Georgia, right? Real redneck, super.
Short hair?
Short. No, not short hair.
Not long hair, right? Short hair. Yeah,
I get it. Like when you're short with the short hair, it makes all the sense in the world. And I don't care how tall you are. Actually, short women I find to be very interesting. But so this girl, let's call her Rocky. Rocky and I started dating, and you know, as adults do, eventually we got intimate, right? We went to first base and then eventually to second. And then at some point we rounded home.
Rounded third.
And that was two consenting adults. We're just, you know, doing what two consenting adults do. We were using the things that God gave us, Hoadley. That's what I'm trying to say out of this. And thank you very much. And so we have sex on a couple of occasions, and I would give myself a solid C minus on the performance. feel like I'm right there in the pocket. I feel like it's not good enough that she wants to talk to her friends about it and make people jealous, but it's not bad enough that she wants to walk away from the relationship yet.
I feel like talking to her friends about it.
Yeah.
Either way, really good or really bad. You're talking to your friends about it.
Oh, really? I got to change my game plan then. I feel like I'm bringing in a satisfactory performance. Let's put it that way. right? If I was in school, the teacher would say, you did your homework. Like, they wouldn't say, like, you know, congratulations, you did a great job. They would say,
you read the Cliff Notes. Yeah,
I'm proud of you. You did your homework, right? I never want to overperform because I feel like then you're just setting expectations you can't have. But okay. I don't want to underdeliver either because then I feel like you get yourself in trouble. Right. So I like to be right there in like the C minus to C range. I feel like that's a good place to be in life in general. I feel like that's a good place. You don't get noticed one way or the other. So we have sex a couple of times.
That's why we're doing a podcast.
To three people.
Do you want to make it four?
Okay, dude, I'll spend money with you later.
Okay, just give me a call. I can tell you're going to need more subscribers after this episode.
He has a huge family.
Yeah, he has a huge family. So we have sex a couple times. And then we're getting intimate on the couch one night. And I go to do what I do. You know, I'm getting ready for my solid C-minus performance. And I figure, you know, let's get below the belt and start working under the trunk, right? Let's get everything primed and ready. And she was like, no. Just dry hump me. And I was like, what? And she's like, I just want you to dry hump me. And I was like, oh, I get it. Maybe it's that time of the month. One of the things that my chauvinistic mind thinks immediately, right? Is it's definitely all, there's a problem with her and not with me. She, you know, something's going on.
Right.
So I'm like, okay, I don't even remember how to do that, but okay, you know, let's try. So I've got these button fly jeans on, right?
You just hump.
Yeah. You just hump with the jeans on, right?
Jeans on.
With usually jeans.
Yeah, usually jeans.
You start a small fire.
You do.
By rubbing as fast as you can with jean material until someone gets burned or ripped skin, right? So I'm like, okay, so we go through this whole, we'd have these whole motions, right? And then I'm like, but it doesn't do anything for me because quite frankly, it's just not, after a while, it really hurts. It hurts. Right. I'm not all that interested in it, but okay. So, and then the night wraps up and then we're back together a couple nights ago. And she says, okay, I'm getting ready, right? Going under the trunk, doing the whole nine yards. I'm going to round home. Here we go. I'm going to put
going
in.
Going under the hood.
You know, going under the hood. Got to say going under the trunk.
Help! Please cut me under the trunk.
All the parts are under the hood.
Oh, usually. For the Christians, it's under the trunk. I got it. 10-4. If you want to keep your virginity, you stay under the trunk.
Junk in the trunk.
So here I go again. Right now, I've decided in my mind, I'm going to put in a solid C performance now because I feel like my confidence
on the dry hump.
Yeah, not on the dry hump. I thought we were going to go right back into it. I thought this was a temporary problem, like a temporary setback, and now we were going to go right back into where we started from. Like I thought maybe she was having her period, and this is just why she wanted to do this, and that's okay with me. Whatever. I mean, we're consenting adults, and that's what that means. If she's not consenting, you know, she wants to do something else. Yeah. Hey, I'm game. Not particularly exciting, but so a couple nights later, I'm like, okay, I'm going to put in a solid C performance with the sex, with the actual sex, sex, so that, you know, she knows that she doesn't have to go back to dry humping, that I've stepped up my game just a little bit. Right. And then again, no. Let's just dry hump. And I'm like, okay, let's do that. Why not? Okay, sure. You gotta have another beer? So here we go then. Right?
Yeah, friction begins.
And I'm like, oh my God. You know, it's starting to hurt a little bit, right? Because we just did this a couple nights ago and now it's starting to hurt again. I have buttonfly jeans.
Chafing.
Chafe. Right. And then I'm like, well, I don't know what's wrong. Like, I wonder if I should have a conversation about this, but I let it slide the second time again, because I figured, well, whatever. Third time.
It's a good way for build up.
Yeah. It's a good way for build up, but you know, usually as consenting adults, then you follow through with the action, or at least if you've had sex before, you would think you would follow through on the action. I'm not saying it's a given that if you dry hump, then you're going to actually hump, but we had a history of actually having
dry humping. Oh, you had a history of having sex.
Hun, we had sex like four times before all of a sudden she switched to dry humping.
I missed that. Okay.
And I'm like, so now my confidence is shaken. Yeah. I'm a little bit blown. My penis hurts. And we've now started a small brush fire in between the two of us.
Is that what's going on out in California?
Yes. There's a lot of, maybe we brought dry humping back. Hashtag yeah. dry hump. So then the third time, and here we go again, right? I'm getting ready to go under the tire and get, you know, get into the trunk, go under the tire and back through the hood. And I'm like, and she's like, no, 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 no. Let's just dry hump. And I'm like, okay, now I got to say something. And I'm like, hey, why?
Third time is not a charm.
No, it's not the charm. And I'm like, is everything okay? Oh, yeah, 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 yeah. Everything's great. Let's just dry hump. And I'm like, okay, but you know, we had the sex, like we did the sex a couple times and now you just want to dry hump and that's okay. Like if there's a reasoning behind this, is it just that, you know, listen, I just feel like with you, it's so much better. She said this with you. It's so much better if I just have a little bit of pressure and with the dry hump, it's just, I just get there quicker. And I was like, oh, what? Excuse me? I was like, did you just say that with me, it was better if I didn't insert my penis? Yeah, listen, it's just so much better with you if I don't even see your penis anywhere near me. Hoadly. I swear to God, this
the
woman
fact
said this.
That she kept wanting to dry hump is like, I think I might have been like.
Listen.
Let's get out of here. Let's not do this anymore because we're having to backtrack.
Well, listen, I've never been one to take, you know, I'm not exactly the world's most intelligent human being. And I figured this was just a temporary setback and we get back on the ball field sooner rather than later. Right. Little did I know that this girl had no intention of letting me back in the ball field. She was just like,
no, you're out in the parking lot.
So my C minus, I'm still in the batting cages.
Gone back.
Yeah.
From major league down to minor league.
That's right. I'm ready to get on the field and she's like still warming up. So I said, did I do something wrong? No. Nothing wrong. This is how she talked too. It was just like, she's like, when, you know, when we were, no. It's just better if we try.
Wow,
I was right. And you don't know how upset this made me, how this shook my confidence. And it made me really like my C minus performance probably was more like an F plus, right? Because she really just didn't want to have the sex with me anymore. It was just done. So I did exactly what any man with his pride intact did. I dry humped her. I dry humped her and then called it a night and I left.
Then
and
called it quits.
So a couple weeks fast forward. So I was just dating, by the way, just dating around, right? So a couple of weeks fast forward, she lived in a different county than I did. And we didn't see each other all that often anyway, like maybe once a week or twice a week. And so a couple of weeks went by for whatever reason, we didn't see each other and I met somebody else. And then, so I called her and I said, hey, listen, I just want to let you know, I have met somebody else. I don't want to be like a player. I don't want you to think that I'm, you know, stroking behind your back. I just want to let you know that I've met someone else and, you know, we're going to go out and we're going to see each other. Oh, that's okay. Don't worry about it. Everything.
That's okay.
Yeah. She was like, she didn't even have,
thanks for letting me know.
Yeah. She was like, that's okay. Don't worry about it, Brian. I just want you to know that I've really enjoyed my time with you. And I was like, this is not an exit interview. I'm just, why don't you feel a little bit of like sadness that I'm breaking up with you? No, none whatsoever. None whatsoever. I don't. Thanks.
That's actually a really good tactic.
I agree with you. Yeah, she
now
literally.
That I think about it, she.
She backed the train right up.
She backed the train up and went to dry hump, and then.
She went to dry humping. Like,
instead of an actual breakup. You go to dry hump.
You just go straight to dry hump. So
dry hump.
We're married, so we'll never get to, you know, I don't think that tactic's ever going to come into play. No. If my wife ever says, let's start dry humping, I know we're in a trouble. But I swear this happened to me, and it was like the most it was the most deflating thing that it's sexually that I had ever been through. And I've been through some pretty deflating things sexually. I'm no Casanova. And I was like, oh my God, this girl literally just like, She took it all the way there, and then she was slowly backing me up. I imagine if we had stayed together, she'd be like, no. Just feel me up. Feel me up over the bra.
Right. Right.
No. Let's not,
absolutely.
Let's not kiss with tongue anymore.
Yeah, no, let's not.
No. Don't touch me anymore. I just feel it's better if you don't touch me. I get off so much quicker that way.
No. Oh my gosh, Brian.
She backed up the intimacy on me. So listen, so I bring it all. Let's wrap it back around to Married at First Sight Australia. I feel like Michelle and Steve could at least give it a try on the dry humping.
On the dry hump.
Yeah, just give it the dry, give it the old dry hump. I had a second thought about
give
this,
it
though.
The old dry hump try.
Yeah, you know, Michelle is not that bad looking of a woman, right? And she's in her, I'm guessing 50s, and maybe he's in his 60s. She is not that bad looking. Not for me, for my taste. I don't find her unattractive at all. I maybe, but he is a man of a certain age, and I'm starting to think, I'm wondering if he's getting performance anxiety. Like if this whole situation is just based around, maybe he's had some performance problems in the past.
Plus you're in front of a bunch of cameras.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you're not doing the sex in front of the cameras, but yeah, no, I get it. Yeah. But they're going to report on everything, right? So if you get into the bedroom and then you can't perform for some reason, it's definitely coming out. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Everyone's going to know because, you know, they just talk to each other.
The whole world.
The whole show, the whole premise and why Married at First Sight Australia is so much better than the US is that they all get together and talk about each other's marriages, and it's all like it's all out in the open. You know everything, or you think you know everything that's going on. And for Steve and Michelle, this has been a real issue the entire time. I am rooting for them because I do have a soft spot in my heart for them. You should watch the show. It's really it's really trash. It's really shitty television that I think you're gonna enjoy. It's not on Netflix. It's on what network is it on? TLC? No, not TLC. The Lifetime. It's on Lifetime. It's on Lifetime television.
You're watching Lifetime.
No. Let's just touch our vaginas together.
I'm a woman and I don't even watch Lifetime. Okay.
Are you watching Lifetime, man? Did you say Lifetime?
Yes, I did.
Oh shit, man. I don't know if we can run your banner ad anymore.
Why?
I doubt it's on Lifetime.
It's on Lifetime. It's on Lifetime. I'm 95% sure it's on Lifetime.
Because they're like all like, you know, documentaries or recreations. No,
bad, horrible stories. Yeah, of
stalkers.
Yeah, that's exactly
it. Yeah.
It's just it's a crazy.
And then Christmas shows.
Oh, yeah. Then they have the Christmas movies. I actually have never watched the Lifetime Network in my entire life. But until Married at First Sight, until Married at First Sight came on, and it was on a different channel. It was like on Discovery or something, or TLC or one of those. You know, my brother called me the other day, my twin brother, and he says, you have to bring up on the commercial break, you have to bring up the fact that TLC actually used to be called the Learning Channel.
The Learning Channel.
Yeah. And now it's just called what fucking shit can we put on the air channel? Yeah. I mean, what are you learning on that channel? There's no learning about it.
No.
I think they actually had to legally changed their name to TLC. Yeah. It's like kind of like KFC changed their name from Kentucky Fried Chicken
to just KFC.
Yeah, because you know they don't put any chicken in their KFC. Right. But I don't think that's true. I just don't think that's true. I'm still holding on.
Well, you're learning. We're all learning.
That's why I watch the Learning Channel. I feel like I'm learning. So I was going back and listening to some old music that my parents used to play, this soft rock station in Chicago. Mm-hmm. And I grew up in the 80s. So a lot of the soft rock was coming in and out of the 70s and the early 80s. And there was some cheesetastic rock back then. Let me tell
you. Totally.
I don't know if you remember this song, but there was a song called Into the Night by a guy named Barry Mendrones. And she's only 16 years old. Leave her alone, they say.
Yes.
Okay.
The pedophile song.
Yes, the pedophile song. So I listened to this song, and the lyrics are absolutely unbelievable, and how this guy got away with this. Mm-hmm. So I decided I was going to see if there was a video attached to this particular song. Google this, because I can't play it on here. I don't know if the licensing's right, so I can't play it on the actual show. But the song is called Into the Night, and it's got by a guy named Barry Mendrones. And look at the video that they attached to this particular song. It is the most rapey thing I have ever seen in my entire life. It starts off with Barry Mandrones. It's a song about him falling in love with a 16-year-old girl, right? Right. And how the
totally
father...
Totally normal.
Yeah, totally normal. And he's
for another 16-year-old.
Yeah, that's correct. For someone in the age range of 15 to 17, not 38 years old. And Barry Mandrones looks like he's 92 when he's singing this song. The guy's still alive. I don't know how this guy's not in jail somewhere. But basically, he sings this song, and it's about him getting... him justifying the relationship or the lust he has for a 16-year-old girl. So the video starts off. It's a really bad video. It's the beginning of the video age. So he knocks on the door and the father mimes the words, "She's only 16 years old. Leave her alone," right? But then Barry decides, undeterred by the father, you know, it's just a misunderstanding. They don't understand. They never understand when I'm in love with 15-year-old women. So,
in fact, the law doesn't understand.
Yeah,
either.
I don't get I don't understand. I don't understand why they don't understand. But if you get married, then that's a different story. Yes. So he runs around to the side window, and the girl is like literally sitting on the floor, like, you know, staring at a flower or something. And he is like staring at her through the window, like, "They don't understand my love." And I'm like, oh my God, that's so fucking creepy. Just the imagery. Yeah. So then it gets worse, because as the video goes on, Barry goes to the store. He tries to ring her on the telephone, right? She doesn't answer the phone. The father answers the phone and hangs up. Barry goes to the open air market, wherever the fuck there's an open air market, in 1980, and he buys a rug. He buys that rug and he takes it back to the window, and he pops open the window of the girl's bedroom, and he throws the rug on the floor, and he lays it down, and then he lays her down on the floor.
No.
I'm not even kidding you. This is a video that happened. It's out there. And so then they use all of the technology that they can muster in 1980 to make the carpet fly while the two are making love. So now it's just like this carpet, like this cutout of this carpet and two people kissing while it's flying around scenes like the Grand Canyon, the Statue of Liberty, Chicago's Beltway. It's just like flying all over the place while Barry's trying to seduce this 16-year-old girl. It's the creepiest fucking thing.
That girl that was actually in the video. I mean, can you imagine if you're like, people are like, "You look so familiar."
Oh, yeah, yeah.
She's like, have you seen me making love to a man on a flying carpet?
And in probably in 1981, this was like, yeah. "Are you in the Into the Night video?" "Oh, yes, I am. That's me. I actually got to make love to Barry Mandrones."
We need to do a Lifetime. Where are they now?
Where are they now? She's probably in a cave somewhere, buried under Barry Mandrones' house. It's a fucking creep. Oh my God. It was, Hody, you have to go check. I'm going to put a link to the video in the show notes. And it's just, I can't believe that in the 80s they were getting away with this stuff. But there's a lot of
stuff. It's Miami Vice for one.
Oh my God. Miami Vice was like, it's like, what, Crockett and Tubbs are at a high school and they're like doing a, and then they meet some freshman cheerleader, and they're like, "Yeah,
doing like a line of coke as they're speeding off on a speedboat in no shirt and a white sport."
And that's right. I think that style is coming back. Astrid and I went to Miami one time, and not Little Havana, but we go to I think it's Circle de Havana is what it's called. It's a street in Miami, and they close off the street. The street is closed off, and every night it comes to life with Latino music and restaurants, and it's like pure Cubano and Latino. It's awesome. I love it. Yes. I love Miami. I love that music too.
I really love that music.
Me too. So we end up going out to eat, and while we're out to eat, we see this shop, and it's all, the entirety of the shop is linen clothing, white linen clothing, like they used to wear in the 80s, right?
Flowy.
And it was just like a hot, sweaty night. And I was like, you know what? I want to go in here and see if they have like an actual linen shirt that I could wear on the beach, right?
Yeah.
We get in there, and there is this little lady from Argentina who makes all this linen clothing. And she is like, "Hi, welcome. Welcome. And I'm like, "I know, you are one sexy man. I mean, really, honestly, you have the body of like a 22-year-old. And look at your wife. Look how beautiful she is. The big breasts and the wonderful butt. And she's so beautiful." And she was pregnant at the time. I've never seen a more beautiful pregnant woman in my entire life. You can tell she's glowing. Look at this. And look at look how big your penis is. Oh, my God. Your penis is so big. I can tell by your shoes.
We can't fit these pants.
I know. And she's like, so while she's doing this, she's slowly like walking us around the store and just grabbing stuff off the shelves. And she's like, I just made this. It's guaranteed to fit your body type. And your body type is very handsome. Let me tell you, if I had to put you up there, I know you make the sex at like a B+, right? And I'm like, no, C- actually, B+ in this linen shirt. Yeah. So she's pulling stuff off the racks as she's going along. Holy, I swear to God, I didn't walk out of there without spending less than $1,500 fucking dollars. Yeah. I went in for a shirt and the girl complimented it. How many times have I worn that linen shirt? Zero times. I've never worn anything linen. As a matter of fact, I just gave it to Goodwill. $1,500 worth of clothing I gave to Goodwill. That girl just complimented me into $1,500 worth of clothing. It's like a Venus flytrap. Has it happened? I think a real good salesperson.
They give you a glass of wine. They give you a glass of wine and they're like, that looks amazing on you.
Amazeballs. Like,
try this on. Try this on. Next thing you know,
I think I missed my calling in life. I should have been like a salesperson for clothing because I feel like I could do that. I feel like I could do that.
You would get an A+ on that.
I'm bringing my game up a little bit. The nice, handsome man walks in. Like if Steve walked in, I'd be like, Steve, you're so good looking. You're so good. Steve. You know what's good looking on you? These capri pants. Let's put some capri pants on you.
Yes.
Oh my God. How much internet life do you have down there?
I'm 9% left.
I guess that means we got to end the show. This is the first time we will end the show based on Chrissy Hoadley's battery life. But I think we actually got it in. I think we got in almost every. I wanted to talk.
Enjoyed this.
I know I did too. I wanted to talk about the Trump boat parade and some other stuff that I thought was interesting. We'll save it for episode 23. TCBpodcast.com is where you go. You can read all of the show notes. And the show notes, we had a little problem with the show notes. So if you've been going there and reading and like looking for the show notes, we actually had an issue with the show notes. We didn't recognize it until just a couple days ago because, you know, we're on top of shit around here. And so we're going through and we're fixing the show notes. You can find links to some of the stuff that we talk about. I'll put up the video of Into the Night. I'll do all kind of stuff. And then send us your audio clips, your parody songs, all your funny stuff. Send it to info@tcbpodcast.com or you can go to the website, contact us, and I'll find a way to get the larger files over to us. Make sure you join the break room because this week, I think we got good enough video that this week we will be broadcasting an episode on YouTube, but only to those who join the break room. Hot, hot, hot. So if you want to see us actually do what we do.
No.
You don't want to see this. You don't want to see Brian. Here, it's the best version of the show right there. No. Let's just take it easy. We don't want to go straight to video.
I have to go straight to video.
Were you talking about dry humping?
I was, Mom.
I used to do that when I was like back in my 20s, too.
I don't even want to hear about it.
You know you can dry hump and they don't even touch you? It's a good way to make love during coronavirus.
Okay, thanks, Mom.
I love you.
Hi, Brian. It's your mom.
I love you too, Mom. Okay, for episode number 22, Chrissy, live from some strange place. Hopefully we'll get you from some strange cement bunker in the southeast of the United States of America. Thank you for joining. I know we did this on a high wire act today, so I appreciate it.
I love you.
I love you too.
I love all our listeners and appreciate it.
Oh, yeah, all our listeners around the world. 92 different countries listening, every state in the union.
And we're all in all 50 states.
In all 50 states.
Yes.
We think we have subscribers in all 50 states. Can't really, don't really know if they've subscribed, but we know they're listening.
Hello.
Yeah.
Thanks to Podcast Universe, you have all 50 states are listening.
Yes.
Actually, that was before you did it.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, we have to take credit for something. Do you want to buy more banner ads?
Yeah, I'll get with you after the show.
Okay, bye, Brian. It's your ego.
I love you. We're going to get through this.
I love you. We are going to get through this.
Until next time. Bye.
Bye.
Email us at thecommercialbee@gmail.com. Find us and follow us on Facebook and Instagram at The Commercial Break. New episodes drop every Wednesday. We can be found on Spotify, iHeartMedia, Apple, Google, and all major podcast providers. The Commercial Break is a Great Middleweight production, written and produced by Brian Green, co-hosted by Chrissy Hoadley.